old joke about how that you can tell the difference between the Baptists and the regular groups. I heard this from a Baptist preacher, no less, years ago. And what he said was that the other denominations and groups would say, and they all said, amen. But he said that when the Baptists would get up and the preacher would say, now I want y'all to say amen. He'd say, amen. Now the difference between amen and amen, see? So which one is it? I used to get in trouble in school with that, because in school we were taught, you know, there's times when you say A, and there's times when you say ah. But now it seems like that's disappeared. It's all A. So, you know, Matt, that makes it easy, doesn't it? Today's subject, though, is not easy. In Romans 13, I don't know if I can get through all the verses this morning or not. But in Romans 13, 1 through 7, it was John Culhane O'Neill, a late Scottish New Testament scholar who died a number of years ago, who said concerning these verses, and he said some of the most poignant words regarding the verses, these verses before us this morning. And this is what he stated. These seven verses have caused more unhappiness and misery in the Christian East and West than any other seven verses in the New Testament. We might ask ourselves why this is the case. However, I believe that Brother Jack Cottrell gives us the best answer when he observes this. The fact remains that if we take Paul to be referring here to individual governments and rulers, then we have no choice but to say that God has handpicked and personally put into office every bloodthirsty tyrant, every genocidal dictator, every anti-Christian regime, every crooked politician and judge, every sadistic sheriff and police officer, and every immoral and bribe-taking public official who now exists, has ever existed, and ever will exist. And as he states, did you know that most, or many, I should say, I always used to get churches where I preached years ago, I'll never forget an elderly lady coming up to me and saying, preacher, would you quit saying most? Because you know it's not most. Say many do, not most. Because when you say most, you're generalizing all of us. So don't say that. So she said, please, say many. So we'll say many. Take these verses found in Romans, the 13th chapter. Takes it exactly the way Brother Cottrell said. And if you believe and you take it that way, everything I read of what Brother Cottrell said must be true. And most take it exactly that way. Or many take it that way. Now, Brother Cottrell goes on to say that it is easy to see how such an understanding can be used to justify every form of tyranny and to coerce citizens into blind obedience to the most degrading and anti-biblical demands. And I further agree with Brother Cottrell when he says that the whole approach that many take, many preachers take, many teachers take to Romans 13, verse 1, is wrong. Now, why do I say that? Well, to understand that, you see, we have to take these verses in context. Remember what we ended with last week in Romans 17, verse in Romans 12, 17 through verse 21. Never, Paul says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. He means mankind. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And as I said last week, that presupposes that there may be times when we can be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge. Now, this is where we come into today's passage. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, he says. Now we come to chapter 13, verse 1. And as I said, our Bibles have a bad chapter division there. Now, in the original, the way it was written, we didn't have the chapter divisions, as I said before. We didn't have verse numbers in that. You couldn't tell. But if you would read it in the original without the chapter and verses, you would see that what Paul says here goes hand in hand with what he has just said. Remember, that's what I talked about last week, that what Paul is saying is that God was saying that you don't, when someone does something bad to you, say it's an enemy or what have you, whoever that may be, you do not retaliate. We do, as Christians, we do not retaliate. We don't take our own vengeance. What Paul said, whose vengeance is it? God's. God said, I will repay. Personal vengeance is not ours to take. That's what that means. So now, many divorce what Paul says here in Romans 13 from that. But you have to see this in context. Now, it is true what Paul says here. People want to say, all this has, this just, all what Paul means, is talking about in Romans 13, these first seven verses here, it all has to do with government, with politicians, politics, you know. And this is what Brother Cottrell is saying, that they take it wrong, and I do believe that they are wrong. Now, it does have to do with government. It does. But not just that. What Paul lays out for us is that God has established, he has instituted all forms, not just government, whether that's national, whether that's state, or whatever country it is. Not just that. God has instituted, God has established all forms of authority. Not just that. This is what Paul's talking about. Look at what he says. Beginning with verse 1. Every individual, every person. The word he uses there is where we get our term soul or psyche, psuche. Every person, every soul, every individual is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority, important here, take note, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. You see what Paul is saying? Paul's not just talking about national and state governments. He's saying God, and Paul is saying God has established all authority. You know what that means? Paul lays it out later there in several of his other epistles. Submission between husband and wife. Authority of, yes, authority of parents. He even lays about authority about, you know, masters over servants, that. Talks about that. But that's not saying that those things, that master and servant, slavery in that is right. But he does say that in his day, those they obeyed them, those authorities, that God put them into place. You see, you have to see that what Paul is saying here is not just limited to civil authorities. Paul, as well, you have to see this, that Paul is expressing a general principle here. And the first part of verse 1 is Paul is what he's doing is he is applying it. It is a practical application of this. Paul is asserting, yes, that all forms of authority have been established by God. No matter where they're at. No matter where it is. And he is saying that to rebel against any of those authorities is rebellion against God himself. Why? Because as he says here, and those which exist are established by God. Verse 2. Therefore. Now remember that when you see that word therefore, you want to ask yourselves, why is it there? Paul is giving a reason. He says, therefore, because of what he has just said, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. In other words, God is saying, I don't like that. And those who do will receive condemnation. Now, what Paul is saying here, brothers and sisters, is that this doesn't just apply to Christians. Yes, we're talking about the relation between Christians and authority. And yes, civil authority. But it's not just Christians he's talking about. He is saying, did you get that verse 1? He's saying all, everyone, every single person on this world. That's what he's talking about. Not just Christians, but it applies to everyone. Why? Because God is the ultimate ruler of all. And he would be, he is, but many don't recognize that. He would be the father of all. Now, that being said, we know that some will not accept his authority, do we not? And what God says, what will happen? If you don't accept his authority, ultimately, why, they reap the consequences of that, don't they? And they'll reap the consequences of that at the end of life. So Paul here deliberately uses universal terminology when he says everyone. And it applies to all people, not just Christians. Now get this. This is, we were talking about this the other day. And this is what many people think and what it's often taught. And this is why this is misunderstood from Paul. You see, many think that, well, God has placed these people here wherever they are. And say for instance, what's going on over in North Korea. Well, God put him in place, didn't he? So God's having him do all those things, isn't he? God's having him mistreat his people. God's having him have, I kid you not, and they have taken pictures of this, of the world. Most places in the world, when you turn it on at night, and they have shown this, satellites are lit up. The whole country of North Korea at night, guess what? What's it in? It's in darkness. Total darkness, no lights. Get that? God hadn't that man do that? God hadn't those leaders do that? What's going on in China? God having the government do that? Treat people that way? You see, if you take the passage verbatim, or I should not say verbatim, but if you take the passage like they want to interpret it, just exactly what Brother Jack Cottrell said must be so. And that's what many teach and what many believe. That God put them there, so God's having them do those things. No. Yes, God established authority. Yes, he established government. But just as Brother Gareth Reese said, in this passage, Paul has not implied, it has not been implied that a particular kind of government, and we have to get this through to us, it has not been implied that a particular kind of government, whether it be democracy, whether it be Republican, a republic, which we, by the way, are supposed to be, there is a difference between democracy, total and complete democracy, and a republic. And our country was set up as a representative republic. Yes, it has democracy within it, but not true, complete democracy. And we would never want that and should never want that. And no country should ever want that, because you have total and complete democracy, it leads to anarchy. It leads to chaos. And then it leads to totalitarianism. And what Brother Cottrell says here, we have to get this through to us. it has not been implied that a particular kind of government, whether it be democracy, a republic, parliamentary, like the United Kingdom, Canada, Britain, Ireland, Scotland, parliamentary, a monarchy, or, and many wouldn't say this, and I don't even hesitate to say it, or totalitarian. Has God's approval more than another one? It simply says, as Brother Gareth Reese says, it simply says that the idea that man should be governed is from who? God. From the beginning of the world, he put authority in place. And what this passage teaches, it simply says that the idea that man should be governed comes from him. It is not from human origin or man's invention. God established it. Why? Because any society, no matter what nation, country, or what have you it is, any society must have some regulatory laws and people to enforce them. That's what he's talking about. Why? In order to protect the rights of its members, the rights of its citizens, Christian or not. But that includes us. See? That includes us. So, what Paul is laying out here is that the basic relation between citizens, whether Christian or not, but means us in the church as Christians. The relation, the basic relation between citizens and government is summed up in one word. Submit. You know that word is used over some 40 times in the New Testament? That's a frequent word, both as a verb and a noun in the New Testament. It's talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 5. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. That's there. That's that word. Jesus used it. That same word, exousia. When he said, all authority has been granted to me. And Jesus said, it's mine until I come again. That's what he said. It's mine. And then Jesus told the apostles and now the church, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to carry out. This is what I want you to obey. Why? Because all authority is mine. And this is what I want you to do. Now, many don't want to do that, but, you know, that's their issue they have to deal with. As we all do. But that word is used, as I said, from wives to husbands and so forth. Mutual submission is there. And it's used here. And it's used elsewhere. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject, submit. To rulers, to authorities, exousia, to be obedient. Goes back to the word subject, or submit. To be ready for every good deed. It's also used in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Peter uses it. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. There's that word. Here he uses it in the middle voice, which what he means is that citizens, those who aren't Christian, those of us who are Christian, that we are to acknowledge authority. So now we come to verse 3. I told you we won't get through all this morning. We now, because there's a lot here, but this is very important stuff for us today, especially in the culture in which we live in and what we see happening around us and how some people are reacting and acting, see. So we come now to verse 3, in which Paul returns to a specific subject, and this is what he says. For rulers, authorities, are not a cause of fear for good behavior. Get this? Not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. He said, do you want to have no fear of authority? He's then asking that question with a response. No. Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. From the authorities. So, what Paul is laying out here, it is clear that everyone, every single person, has two options. Even when it's Christians. You have two options when it comes to authority. And specifically with civil authority now. And what are those two options? Well, you either obey the laws or you do what? You ignore and disobey them. Those are the two options. But Paul says that fear of punishment is indeed a proper motivation for obeying the laws of the land. Personal vengeance? No. No retaliation. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You think God just will repay in the end time? Mm-mm. God also exacts vengeance today. And what Paul is saying, he will use those civil authorities to do that, is what he is talking about here. What is that principle? Well, you even find that in the Old Testament. It's the principle of deterrence. Who put that in place? Why, God did. Look all the way back in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 11. Look at what God tells his people. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid and will never again do such a wicked thing among you. That's a principle of deterrence. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, when God's laying down his laws and regulations to his people, we see this. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 13, God says, "Then all the people will hear and be afraid and will not act presumptuously again." That's interesting how that follows that. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 20. The rest, people, the rest will hear and be afraid and will never again do such an evil thing among you. One more, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 21. This has to do with sons, by the way. Now, we don't do that this today, but what God laid out. "They shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then God says, 'Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst. And all Israel will hear and what? And fear.'" Do you see that? The principle of deterrence. What does that say? It goes back to God's way of doing things. His way of doing things. Not man's. But his way of doing things. What is that? Goes all the way back to what we read in the beginning of Romans. What the Jews thought they had a handle on. What many people think they have a handle on today. Their way, God's way. Goes all the way back to the beginning of the book of Romans. It goes to this. Keep the commandments, and you do what? Well, keep the commandments, you escape the penalty. You escape the consequences. But you break the commandments, and you don't obey the commandments, you don't do them, and what do? You suffer the consequences, don't you? You suffer the penalty. And God is saying that's why he put civil authority in place. See? There's a reason for that. And when Paul says in verse 3 here, when he said you, he's talking singular. Each individual in the verse, it's singular in the verse, meaning each individual. And now Paul begins to elaborate on this. Paul says here that these authorities are not only servants of the people, but are also whose servants? God's. Yeah, we'll pick up with this next week because our time is gone. The point is this, and I'll close with this, and we'll pick up with this next week. Because Paul's going to deal with lawbreakers. Is that government exists. And this is what people do not get today. And what is the problem in our culture? Government. Civil authority does not exist for its own sake. Which many people think it does. But government exists for the sake of its people. For the sake of its citizens. And to what purpose? For good. But evil can come. And lawbreaking can come. And Paul's going to deal with that, you see. And then what he says, we're going to see, he makes just a simple statement of fact. But I end with that because that's so important to see. Many in government, many politicians, and many others want us to think that that they exist and government exists for its own sake. But it doesn't. No matter what country we may live in, God says that government exists for the sake of its people. But when they get that out of kilter, see, when they pervert that, who are they disobeying? See? They're disobeying him, aren't they? See, that's why it's so important to understand this and see this, that it doesn't mean that God is saying that whatever a nation does, whatever a country may do, and whatever their government, however they may act, is that God justifies it. That God justifies it, that he condones it, and that he has them do it. He doesn't. There is perversion of government. Can be, see. And God has an answer to that, see. He had to answer that in Israel's day. He's got an answer to that today. See. And many people don't think he does, but he does, see. And it's time that we get back to the idea that God put authority in place of all kinds. He established it. And that civil authority as well. But he's got his ways about it. That's what we've got to get to, see. That's what's missing in our culture, in our society. We see that around us, do we not? So how does a Christian, see, how is a Christian to think of those things? What are they to do? Paul's got the answer for us. We'll look at that next week. Let's stand, we're going to sing, God be with you until we meet again. I'm saying that for a while.